As I was reflecting on the text that I was going to speak on today, a question came to my mind. And really, it's how important is hope in the life of a believer? This may seem like a silly question because it's rhetorical, but it's such an important question to ask. And we consistently profess to the world that we do have hope. We tell them that we have hope in Jesus, but when we're under attack, when we are bombarded by the temptations of life, when we are in deep despair, and when we have fallen and it feels like we can't stand, then we start to ask, how important is hope in the life of a believer? And I really think of Old Testament believers that are in this situation. They've fallen in the egregious sin, and they just feel like they can't stand and they need repentance. And so really, I wanted to take a text today and x-ray into the heart of an Old Testament believer and see what he's feeling, seeing what he's going through, but also seeing where his hope lies. And so the text that I wanted to look at is Psalm 130, Psalm 130. And this is a psalm that's a penitent psalm, and you'll see why later. But I want us to really just feel the emotions that the psalmist is feeling and seeing the situation that he's actually going through. So let's read that psalm. It says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." And so I'd like to start with a question after looking at this passage of what is the psalmist's attitude? What's his tone in this passage? And we see that he is desperately crying out to God. We see that the situation that he's in, it's the depths. And when the word depths here, I think of the situation with Jonah when he is in the belly of the fish and he's crying out to God. He is engulfed by the circumstances of his sin. He is absolutely surrounded in the abyss of the sea of life around him. And I think this is what the psalmist is trying to capture. He's trying to show his urgency, his situation, by showing that he is in the absolute depths. And we also see his urgency in the way that he is repeating the name of Yahweh, how he is repeating God's name. For an illustration, I remember being in the store and being separated from my dad. And when I was separated with him, I would call out his name, running throughout the store, "Dad, Dad," like trying to see where he was. And it wasn't just because of the dangerous situation that I was in. It was because I was calling for his attention. I was using that affectionate address to try and get my dad's attention. And I think this is what the psalmist is doing here. He's using this affectionate address of Yahweh to call his attention. We even see that in verse 2 when he says, "Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." And it's not that God is hard of hearing. It's not that God can't hear, but it's that he is asking for God to graciously give him an audience. As a servant would ask for the audience of a king, this is what the psalmist is doing. He's asking for God to hear his pleas, to hear his voice. And so why is the psalmist crying out from the depths? Well, we see that the psalmist is in the depths of his immense sin. He actually gives an illustration to show the gravity of his sin, to show how immense the sin really is. We have here the image of a courtroom. And when the offender walks in before the judge, the offenses and the charges are read before the judge. And so we think of ourselves, we are walking into the courtroom of God, and we are standing before God, who is the perfect judge, and the law is perfection. And the list is before him. He has marked the sins of us. And I mean, we can imagine just how long that list is, right? God knowing every thought, every action. And we can imagine just in this week how long that sin list is. And so here we not only understand how immense our sin is, but in the next verse, we see how merciful and forgiving our God is. This is when the tone of the whole passage just switches. And we see, but there is forgiveness with thee. The psalmist understands the divine forgiveness of God. Only God can forgive a list this long. And so, I mean, the psalmist knows the extent of God's forgiveness. He even says here that thou mayest be feared. I mean, it's a forgiveness that just absolutely shows us how awesome God is. It just shows us how we are to be struck with awe at his forgiveness. We see that the anxiety of the psalmist melts here in these words, and that it's only a compassionate judge who can forgive such sinners. And so we see that this attribute of God leads to the solution here in this passage. I mean, what is the psalmist's solution? The psalmist's soul is hoping in Yahweh and in his word. In the depths of his sin, he has nowhere else to turn but to Yahweh. He's the only one who can deliver him. He's probably thinking back to his ancestors. He's probably thinking back to Israel when they were in Egypt and they were calling out for God in their depths. And God was merciful to them. He knows the mercy of God. And he's thinking on these past stories. And we also see that the word of God is necessary for the hope of a believer. I mean, we even think of Matthew 4:4, where Jesus Christ says that man won't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so next, I want us to see the demonstration that the psalmist gives of his anticipation of that sure hope. He gives an illustration of what that anticipation looks like. He says, as the watchman, as the night watchman. And so during this time period, a night watchman was one who stood on the gates and watched for enemies. He watched for attacks that might be coming during the night, because the night gave protection to the enemies. It was danger. And so we see that he is longing for that morning. The watchman is longing for the night to be over. I mean, let's imagine that we are that watchman. Let's imagine that we're in that watchtower and we're waiting for the morning. We have one thing in our mind, and that is that the morning is sure. We know that the morning is coming, and we are absolutely longing for it. And I think that's what this psalmist is trying to communicate here. And so he also points Israel to hope in the Lord, in the Lord's mercy. We see that he points Israel to love God, right? The psalmist realizes that he is not only the one that needs the Lord's mercy. The mercy of the Lord is why he has hope in God. An infinitely merciful God provides infinite hope. And so Israel is also encouraged to hope in the Lord's redemption as well. The greatest example of redemption I can think of in scripture is, besides Christ, is Boaz, right? We think of the story of Boaz and Ruth and how he is the kinsman redeemer, and how Boaz not only gives over money, but he also gives over his life in order to buy back Ruth, in order to redeem her family, in order to redeem her name, and to have that marriage. And so what is our problem? And what is our solution? And we see that we too are in the depths of our sin, right? So often we too are sobbing in our immense sin. We feel unforgivable and completely without hope. We also cry to God in desperation for forgiveness of sins, that we may even believe God is loving. But how do we have that assurance in God's forgiveness? And the solution is that we need to hope in the Lord's mercy, in his loving kindness, and in his redemption. And so as Israel was looking forward to the coming Messiah, we look back to the Messiah that came. Jesus Christ is our source of redemption. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have hope because he has redeemed us. And so we often forget the importance of hope, even within our own confession and repentance. I'm sure that I don't have to explain the importance of repentance in our prayers. I mean, if we're praying with sin compartmentalized in a different area of our life, why should God give us his ear? I mean, furthermore, if we are trying to spread the gospel of hope to the lost, then we must understand the impact of hope within our own lives in the gospel. And so as we pray, let's pray that we will hope in the Lord and that other people will place their hope in the Lord, because Jesus is the only source for abundant forgiveness, mercy, redemption, and hope.